When Princess Bridget von Ascheberg meets her new bodyguard, Rice Larson, two worlds collide. She's a royal seeking normalcy in America, away from the suffocating protocols of Eldora. He's an ex-Navy SEAL with unbreakable rules and an iron discipline. "I don't get personally involved with clients," he states coldly, establishing boundaries that immediately frustrate Bridget's quest for independence. Their first meeting sets the tone for what becomes an impossible attraction. She resents his controlling nature. He finds her recklessness infuriating. Yet beneath their clashing personalities lies an undeniable chemistry. When Rice intimidates a fraternity boy harassing Bridget at a bar, we glimpse something beyond professional obligation in his protective stance. The princess, meanwhile, finds herself simultaneously irritated by his rules and strangely comforted by his unwavering presence. What makes their dynamic so compelling is the tension between what they want and what duty demands. Rice has never broken his professional code in 5 years as a bodyguard. Bridget has never escaped the golden cage of royal expectations. Living under the same roof, they begin a delicate dance of attraction and resistance that neither is prepared to acknowledge, a dance where every small revelation becomes significant. Living in close quarters creates an inescapable intimacy. Small moments crack their facades, like when Bridget takes Rice to the animal shelter where she volunteers, connecting her to her deceased mother. "I know more about you than you think," he tells her, challenging her assumption that he sees her as just a spoiled princess. Their relationship deepens when Rice reveals why he left the Navy. "It was too much, the deployments, the uncertainty, watching men I considered brothers die." This vulnerability transforms their dynamic. When Bridget draws genuine laughter from the usually stoic bodyguard, it awakens something dormant in both of them. Their contrasting worldviews create tension. After Bridget attempts to attend a concert without security, Rice states, "Life is a war zone, princess. The sooner you understand that, the safer you'll be." Her response, "There's more to life than trying not to die," highlights their fundamental difference. Their relationship evolves through compromise. After Bridget's kidnapping at the concert, they negotiate. She'll follow his security protocols if he removes the tracking chip from her phone. This marks their first step toward mutual respect and understanding. As months pass, antagonism evolves into a deeper connection. Rice shows his softer side by creating an indoor festival in their living room when Bridget can't attend a music event due to security concerns, complete with a tent, lights, and live stream. During this celebration, he reveals he draws as therapy for his PTSD, offering a glimpse into his private struggles. Their relationship deepens on her graduation day at her favorite Ethiopian restaurant. Through a question game, Rice shares personal details about his preferences and fears, from his love of sweet potatoes to his greatest fear of failure. When asked about the festival, his response, "I understand what it's like to be alone," shows his deep understanding of her beneath her princess facade. The connection strengthens further when Rice is injured protecting a father and child during a shooting. His confession about freezing when a neighborhood boy was killed years ago reveals the roots of his protective nature and moral code, fostering a profound bond between them. The shooting incident transforms Bridget and Rice's relationship into something more complex than purely professional. Despite recognizing the risk, Bridget finds herself increasingly drawn to his evolving protectiveness. A quiet evening of shared comedy reveals a softer side when Rice comments on her real smile. Her attempt to date Louis, the French ambassador's son, backfires when Rice intimidates him. Their ensuing argument reveals Rice's stance that dating and sex aren't the same thing. During a flight to visit her hospitalized grandfather in Eldora, Rice shares his traumatic past, discovering his mother's overdose at age 11 and meticulously cleaning before calling 911. Bridget's compassionate response about his absent father intensifies their connection. The situation intensifies when Bridget learns she must assume the throne due to her brother's planned abdication, driving her toward reckless behavior in a desperate bid for normalcy before duty claims her. In an uncharacteristic move, Reese takes Bridget to Costa Rica for her bucket list before resuming royal duties. For 4 days, she relaxes while Reese trades suits for shorts, remaining vigilant. At the pool, Bridget discovers Rice's back covered in scars. He reveals his childhood trauma, an abusive mother who blamed him after his father's abandonment. This confession deepens their connection. Touched by his vulnerability, Bridget kisses his scars and requests intimacy, citing her bucket list desire for a real orgasm. When he hesitates, citing professional boundaries, she insists, "Tonight, we're just us. No titles, no obligations." Their passionate night transcends their roles, though afterward, Reese establishes a rule. What happened must stay in that room. Despite his feelings, he acknowledges the reality. She's future queen, he's her bodyguard. The next morning, Reese reverts to formal behavior, addressing her as "Your Highness" instead of "Princess." Though hurt, Bridget maintains composure, proposing to extend his contract during her heir transition, carefully separating it from their intimate encounter. 6 weeks into her role as Crown Princess, Bridget faces media criticism while juggling parliamentary duties and queen lessons. Her routine is disrupted when Reese requests to rejoin her security team. Their reunion crackles with unresolved tension, complicated by news of a husband-hunting ball organized to find Bridget an aristocratic spouse per the Royal Marriages Act. The news visibly affects Reese. When Bridget follows him to explain it was her grandfather's idea, Reese responds bitterly about her perfect princess life. She retaliates by suggesting she might do more than dance with potential suitors. Later, Reese confesses he returned because he couldn't let her face everything alone, acknowledging the void they've both felt. Their attempts at maintaining professional distance crumble. During a heated parking lot confrontation, Reese admits returning was self-torture, knowing he couldn't have her. This leads to passionate encounters, including one in the throne room where he declares, "This is how a queen should be treated." When compromising photos of Bridget and Reese appear in the Daily Tea, her grandfather demands she end the relationship and fires Reese. During their argument about changing the law, her grandfather suffers a heart attack. Guilt-ridden, Bridget attempts to break up with Reese, insisting she must marry Duke Stefan before her coronation, masking her pain with harsh words about his position. Reese learns his half-brother is Andreas, Bridget's cousin, who offers support. Her recovered grandfather encourages her to pursue happiness while maintaining her royal duties. Bridget takes action, using leverage against Parliament members to force reconsideration of the Royal Marriages Act. She publicly acknowledges her relationship with Reese and challenges the outdated law. After Parliament repeals the act, Reese proposes to Bridget in Costa Rica. They marry 6 months after her coronation, combining royal tradition with personal elements. Their story demonstrates how love can transcend social boundaries while modernizing the kingdom, creating a realistic rather than fairy tale romance.